Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, yesterday we began looking at this great text in 1 Timothy 1:15, which says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus has come into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." The Apostle Paul, of course, is the human author of that statement, and that's indicated by the phrase at the end when he says, "of whom I am chief." That's a very personal reference to his own estimation of his own personal condition, his own personal sinfulness before God. But this is an amazing text. It's an amazing proclamation of the gospel in a very condensed form, and one that Paul says is absolutely reliable and trustworthy, and you can believe it with all your heart. In fact, you must believe it with all your heart if you are going to be saved from your sin. This is a faithful saying. You can count on this. This is worthy of all acceptance. You can believe this. And what is this wonderful message? It is that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That a man named Jesus, a babe named Jesus, born to the Virgin Mary, but a man who grew up, of course, and became a man named Jesus, called Jesus of Nazareth, this one is the Christ, the Messiah, appointed by God. And what we discover is that this Christ of God had to be the God-man. I don't think that was clear in the minds of all of the Old Testament people who received the revelation of God concerning a promised Messiah, but that should have been clear, because if the Messiah is going to be a sacrifice for sin, and that's the only way he's going to be able to justify sinners, and that's what Paul says here he's going to do. He came into the world to save sinners, that is, to save them from their sins, to justify them before the judgment bar of God, so that they do not need to be condemned for their sins, will not be condemned for their sins, do not need to give an account for their sins, because if God should mark justice, then who can stand? If God should mark iniquity, then who can stand before him? All are sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so, it's not good people that Jesus saves, it's sinners. Of course, the truth is, there are no good people. We're all sinners. But if you're going to be saved, you're going to have to acknowledge your sinfulness. But it turns out that only the God-man could do this work of saving sinners, because every other man is himself a sinner. And so Christ Jesus had to bridge the gap between God and men. Christ Jesus had to become the mediator between God and men. Christ Jesus had to be a suitable high priest who could represent men in the presence of God by offering up an acceptable sacrifice to the Holy God, a sacrifice which would atone for man's sins, and he also had to be one who could represent God to men. And he qualifies, and the only one who ever has qualified for all of that. He qualifies as the acceptable and all-sufficient sacrifice because in him there was no sin. Tempted, the Bible tells us, in all points like as we are, yet without sin. What descendant of Adam could say that, could make an honest and a rightful claim that he is free from all sin? He has never sinned. Nobody can make that claim except Jesus. But he did. And that's why this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He's the only one who could. He came into the world. That, of course, implies his preexistence. We are born into this world. We did not exist prior to our conception in the world, or per conception in the womb of our mother. But this one came into the world from someplace else. We don't do that. Sometimes people are unclear about that, and they wonder, did we exist in heaven before we were born? All kinds of silly ideas and unbiblical ideas abound at this point. Maybe we were angels until time for us to be born, and then God sent us down to our mother's womb. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. Maybe we existed in a prior life. Maybe we were somebody else, reincarnation, or something else, also reincarnation. But no, that's not true. What the Bible tells us is that every child that is born is a new creation of God. Only God can create life. Only God can breathe into each new babe in the womb the breath of life. And that's a new creation. God creates human life one at a time and joins that life to that body formed in the womb. And we don't come into this world from someplace else. We did not pre-exist. Only Christ came into this world from someplace else. He not only pre-existed, he is eternal. He has always existed. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Wherever you place the beginning, you say, I'll put the beginning at the creation of the world, in whenever you want to place that, however you want to date that. I don't think it was billions of years ago. I'm quite convinced of that. But wherever you want to place that beginning, put your finger down and say, that's the beginning. Well, in the beginning, Christ already was. In the beginning was the Word. He already was. Not in the beginning became the Word. Not in the beginning started the Word. Not in the beginning was the beginning of the Word. But in the beginning of the world, in the beginning of the universe, in the beginning of anything else, the Word already was. You say, who's the Word? John 1:14 tells us, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld him. He's talking about Jesus of Nazareth, the very one that Paul is talking about here. John, one of his disciples, saw him, heard him, examined him, felt him. And that one, he says, is eternal. He is pre-existent and he is eternal. In the beginning was the Word. And Paul tells us that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world. That indicates his pre-existence. So, Christ Jesus, the eternal God, did something. What did he do? He came into the world of men, the world where we live, the world where sin dwells, the world where sinners are bound in their sins and need rescue. This eternal God robed himself in human flesh precisely for the purpose of coming into this very world in a condescension that is beyond our comprehension. A condescension that is sacrificial on his part to the nth degree. Down, down, down from his heavenly splendor, down from his glorious condition, down, 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 he comes to this sin-cursed earth. He who was in the form of God and thought his claim to deity was not a false title to be grasped at all costs. It was his by right. But he took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He condescended. He humbled himself. He came into this sin-cursed world for the purpose of saving the sinners who had no other possible way of salvation. Yes, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. How petty we are. How small are the barriers that sometimes we refuse to cross for the honor and glory of Christ. Racial barriers, social barriers. How small, really, are the barriers that we are unwilling to inconvenience ourselves, the barriers that we refuse to endure, the irritations we refuse to abide for the sake of serving others. But look at our example. The Lord Jesus Christ, who crossed barriers of insurmountable magnitude, so vast, so huge, and yet he crossed them all and came into the world to do what? To save sinners. He came into this world, listen, dear friend, not merely to set an example of how we ought to live. He did that, but that's not the main thing that he did. He came into the world not merely to demonstrate that he loved us and that he cares, though in fact his coming into the world, and particularly his dying on the cross, certainly does signal love to the greatest degree and demonstrates his great concern. But that's not why he came primarily. His life, his example are set before us as examples of our own conduct if we are followers of Christ. But dear friend, why did he come? He came to save sinners, as Paul tells us here. Christ Jesus came into the world to save, to deliver, to rescue from sin and death and judgment and hell, because sinners need saving. If they are not saved, they shall perish. He came to save sinners. And in the original language, that word sinner is emphatic. He came to save sinners. There's something about our own sinful condition, our Adamic fallenness, that inclines us to somehow believe that Christ came to save the deserving. Christ came to save those who deserve to be saved, whatever salvation means in that way of thinking. But you see, the more we see our sins and how sinful we are, the more our confidence shrinks. If Christ came to save those who deserve to be saved, then who's going to be saved? Who could be saved? And as we understand our sinfulness, are made to see it by the work of the Holy Spirit, we will eventually come to the conclusion that we could never qualify for salvation if Christ Jesus came to save the deserving. But thank God he didn't come to save the deserving. Christ Jesus came to save sinners. And when we understand that, then we realize that there is hope. There is possibility of salvation. There is potential for salvation. If Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, then I have a chance to be saved. If Christ Jesus came into the world to save the righteous, then I have no possibility of salvation. But he didn't come to save the righteous. Not the righteous, but sinners. Thank God for that. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.